since it's 90s, I thought, what better way to do to talk about Mother's Day in the 90s than to have a 90s mother? So this is my wife, Kathy, and Kathy raised our...
Thank you.
Kathy raised our two boys, Michael and Jeff, through the 90s. Michael was born in 1987, Jeff in 1990. So she learned what she learned about mothering, mostly in the 90s.
I did.
And so, Kathy, what do you remember most about the 90s?
Well, let me talk about it. As I think we have some pictures.
Fashion.
Yes. Fashion was what it's all about. Hair, clothes, shoulder pads. Yeah, the bigger the shoulder pads, the better. Big glasses. We all had big glasses.
Mm-hmm.
We did. There's shoulder pads under t-shirts. And look at Greg's jeans.
Little stonewashed jeans. I was styling.
Stonewashed jeans. Big puffy sleeves and overzealous perms. I always had a perm, scrunch it and go. And crafty t-shirts. Remember all the painting we would do on all of our clothes? We'd just with sponge painting, and it was fabulous. my favorite was overalls, y'all. They were so wonderful. I even had a little overall decorating party where everybody brought their overalls, and we bought all these different animal prints, and we sewed different pockets on the bibs, and I loved them so much, I probably wore them twice a week. And
no, sir, leaving the picture of you with the hair up there.
Yeah, move on from there. You go. And then windsuits. I know if you lived in the 90s, you had a windsuit. The brighter the colors, the better. Men, women, boys, girls, we all had windsuits.
Now, we weren't into exercise so much. You just looked it, you know.
Just it's into like, style.
This generation exercises a lot more than we did. We were too busy doing significant things.
We were into style in those windsuits.
To exercise, yeah. So, Kathy, as you were a mom of the 90s. What were some of the challenges of being a mom that was unique to the 90s?
Really, I don't think there were challenges that were unique to the 90s. I think it's the same challenges that we have today. As I started thinking back on those times, man, balancing life, right? Home, marriage, family time, church, work, school, extracurricular, just goes on and on. And in all of that trying to balance, I was always worrying about every little thing, how I did, you know, or what I did, what I didn't do, and how that was going to affect the boys, because I felt such a responsibility that they had been entrusted to me.
Okay, well, as you said, culture is always changing, but the things that are important haven't changed at all. What is still important as a parent?
Some of the top things, I think, is just being present. Being there when you're just with your kids, being present. And then listening, being a really good listener, and listening with the intent to understand what they're saying. Being authentic, because, you know, our kids... No, if we're different at home than we are at work or it's at church or wherever we are, we want to be authentic with them. And then motherhood, parenting totally brings you to pray. Pray for wisdom along that journey of motherhood. So those to me are the things that were important in the 90s and are still important today.
I would agree that parenting will drive you to prayer, desperate prayer.
It does.
Well, here on Mother's Day, Kathy, what kind of encouragement would you like to give moms? I know you have some things that just, they're real important to you that you'd like to pass on.
Yes, you hear me talk about that. My encouragement today to you moms is to stop trying to be a perfect mom and stop comparing yourself to others. Melanie Schenkel, the lady who we had at Ladies Night, wrote a blog this week about the perfect mom, because it's really, really funny. But in short, she says, the perfect mom doesn't exist, and if she did, we would all hate her. We would. We create in our mind what this perfect mom looks like as we compare ourselves to others. We are just one click away from seeing what's going on in everyone else's world, and that's through social media. The comparison trap, I think, is something that we have struggled with since, that women have struggled with from the beginning of time. But as you are all aware, social media has totally changed that and made the comparison just exponentially higher, I think. We're only one click away, I said, from seeing other people's, what all other people's have. So when we're looking at other people's stuff, we're looking, what, at their beautiful, perfect children, their magazine-worthy homes, the bazillion perfectly wrapped presents under the tree, their select ball team, their around-the-world vacations, and the list just goes on. And we compare that to our lives. But guys, that's not a fair comparison. Because you know what? As we look at all those things, we really don't know what's going on behind that Instagram or Facebook smile. Now, author Kate Merrick, that I read about this week, she says in comparing social media, she says, we are comparing other people's outside with what's on our inside, and that is not accurate. When we focus on others and their stuff, we're focusing outward and we're missing all of the blessings that God has given us in our own lives. I challenge you, ladies, to look around today and see the blessings that you have been given in your life. And the next time that itty-bitty voice that's in our head, y'all know what I'm talking about, because we all have that voice that lives in our head, and sometimes it gets pretty loud. When it starts the comparison game, I challenge you to stop whatever you're doing, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, a fashion magazine, a home magazine, whatever it is that gives you the feeling of you don't have enough or you're not enough. I want you to close that computer, close that magazine, and ask God at that moment to help you to be all in with the life that He has given you, because it's really a lot better than you think. We all have so many things to be grateful for. Looking back over my child rearing days in the 90s, there are things I feel really good about. And then there are those times that I don't really enjoy remembering. When I lost my patience and said things I shouldn't have said. When I hid behind the door to eat the last piece of cake or pie. I'm really not sorry about that.
She still does that. I mean, it's like, didn't we have some pie in the fridge? What happened to it?
But you told me I could
have it.
It's
like a whole pie.
No. Anyway, I am grateful for a God who is always there to guide us and catch us when we fall. Because we do fall and we are going to make mistakes. Because remember, that perfect mom doesn't exist. Just remember, we serve a good, good Father.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Well, from time to time, we like to focus one of our messages on one of the Hebrew Psalms in the Bible. You always can have a clue that we're going to do that when you see that the theme of the day is, I love thee, whether it's 80s or 90s or 60s, you'll know we're going to be talking about one of the Psalms. And it also gives you a clue as to generally where that Psalm is located. Today is I love the 90s, so we're going to look at one of the Psalms that's in the 90s. If you have a Bible, would you open it up to Psalm 98? The Psalms are in the very middle of your Bible, so just crack it up in the middle and move back or forth to get to 98. Also, if you have a Brazos Point app on your phone, if you want to use that, you can go there and the Bible is on your app as well. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to have one, this one you can hold, and I would encourage you to do that, is we would love to give you one. You can pick one up at the Welcome Center on your way out. We wanted today to be a joyful time for moms, to be a happy time to encourage you. And I can think of no better way to be joyful than to sing. Singing is something that cuts across all time and all cultures. It's a way all of us have always been able to express our joy. Now, every one of these psalms, psalm is another word for song or music. And every one of these psalms in your Bible, they were once songs that the Hebrew people sang. They all had music that they sang them to. The Hebrews would write different songs or psalms for different occasions. They would write songs to mark special occasions like their annual festivals. They would write songs to offer praise and thanks to God for the things that he had done. They would write psalms to express their anguish over their troubles or to express grief over their sins. They wrote psalms to teach their children about the great things God had done and to remind themselves of all God had done. And they also used psalms. They would write songs to help them remember everything that God was still doing in their life. Those were songs of celebration like this one, Psalm 98. Let's look at it. Psalm 98, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Now that word salvation in this first verse, it actually implies victory. And some of your translations may say victory. His right hand and his holy arm have worked victory for him. God is wanting to work victory in your life. And that's something to sing about. Now, you don't have to know me very long or to know very much about me before you know that I love music and I love to sing. I love all kinds of music. Music helps me chill. It helps me celebrate. Music inspires me. I always have music playing in my office or at home. And music helps me to worship God, not just so-called Christian music. A lot of where any kind of music that points to the beauties of God's world just inspire me to worship God. My favorite all-time song is Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World. I love that song. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed days, the dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yeah, I didn't know Louis Armstrong. I didn't know what the handkerchief was about there. Well, I love that song because it focuses me on what's right about the world. We all know that there are plenty of things that are wrong about our world. Our sin messes up our world. Other people's sin sometimes messes up our world. But there's so much that is right about our world. And every time we see something that is right, we can thank God for that because God is the one who created all things that are good. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote a letter to one of the early churches. In it, he reminded people that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Everything good comes from God. And so moms, especially today, I want you to know your children came from God. And that gives you a reason to sing. So write this down in your message notes. If God has blessed you with a child, sing. Sing. Let your music express your joy. And just to be clear, this is a command from the Bible. It's not a suggestion. This is actually a command to sing. Sing a new song to the Lord. Some people think the Bible's commands are all negative. And there are definitely some that are talked in a negative way, like don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. But a great many of the commands in the Bible are very positive, even to the point of telling us to party and celebrate what God has done for us year after year after year. And so he tells us to sing, sing a new song to the Lord, for he's done marvelous things. What is more marvelous, ladies, than the gift of a child that made you a mother? That is something to sing about, to celebrate. And not just sing. The psalmist doesn't just command us to sing. He commands us to sing a new song to the Lord. And that idea of sing a new song is because there are always new things that God is doing for us. Moms, you know that you live your life in one season after another with your children. About the time you get used to one phase, they're in the next one. But it's always something to celebrate. And so you sing a new song. Sometimes an old song will do, but sometimes you need to find a new song just to express your gratitude to God for what he has done. So as your child enters new seasons, sing new songs. Sing new songs. I believe one of the reasons why we should sing and why we should have music in our hearts, and especially music that helps us focus on the great things that God is doing for us, is because gratitude is a powerful shield against the difficult times that come, against the troubling times that inevitably come into our lives. Somebody once said that the hardest part about being a mother is labor and delivery, but somebody never took their child to school for the first day of kindergarten or put them on a plane bound for boot camp. Being a mom can be hard. It can be really hard at times, but I believe that the best way to get through those hard times is to intentionally focus on gratitude. Intentionally focus on the good things God has done for you. And I really do believe that singing, remembering a song that thanks God for things, a song that praises God, can help you with that gratitude. There's an old hymn that I love. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. Some of you in my generation beyond would know that song. It was written almost 100 years ago, but it was inspired by a verse in the book of Lamentations that was written 2,500 years ago. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." It was such a beautiful hymn that was written, "Great is your faithfulness." And as I think about what it was inspired by, the book of Lamentations is a book that was written many years after Psalm 98. And it's a book about lamenting or grieving, because it was written at the time when the nation of Judah was conquered by a foreign army, defeated, its country destroyed, and most of its people carried away from Judah into captivity. And yet, even in his grief, the author of this book of Lamentations, he remembered to look every morning for new mercies from God. He looked every morning for evidence of God's love. And then he wrote a verse about gratefulness and gratitude in a book about mourning and grief. He made it through the hard times, and I believe the people of Judah, the people of Israel, made it through the hard times of their lives, the hard times of destruction, by being grateful for God's continuing love for them. So once again, I would encourage you, when parenting is hard, remember God's love for you. Remember God's love for you. His compassions never fail. They're in you every morning. Great, great is his faithfulness. We can sing a new song to God. We can sing a new song to God in the good times and the bad, because he is faithful in both of those. But there's a bigger reason we sing. As Christ followers, there's a much bigger reason we sing. We sing because of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the salvation he offers to us. Look back to Psalm 98, verse 2. "The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Now, this psalm was written before Christ came to earth, so their faith was in the faith of the future promise. And something you've heard us talk about before is the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New, the Testament before Jesus came and the one that's written about his coming and then after his resurrection, it all points to Jesus. Everything in the Bible is Christ-centric. It's predicting his coming or predicting the salvation he brings, or then it's telling about the actual salvation he has. And that is something we can sing about. God's salvation for Israel was always received through their faith, and it's the same way we receive our salvation. But God has made this salvation that the psalmist sang about and hoped for, he has made it a reality for us through Jesus Christ. Moms, as a Christian mom, your greatest task, as well as their fathers, is to introduce your child to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, the way you can do that from a very young age, if you want your child to know Jesus, introduce Jesus to them through music. Introduce them through music. It's just a great natural way. Music is a natural part of our lives. Music shows what's important to us. There's so many great songs for our kids to learn about that are age appropriate for every stage of their life. And if you don't know of any songs that would be really helpful to them to help introduce the love of Jesus and the concepts of the Bible to them, just talk to people on our Next Gen team, and they would be glad to make some suggestions for you. They know some great songs. Play these songs that you get. Play them in your car as you run errands with your children. Play them in their bedroom at night as you're about to put them down to bed. As your children grow, expose them to the music that inspires you to worship. Even if it's your music, that's okay. If that's not the way they're tuned to, they will appreciate that if they hear music. And then, when they're teenagers, take away their music and force them to listen to KSBJ on the radio. I'm kidding. I am only kidding, okay? And I listen to KSBJ, but I listen to a lot of other music, and I would never tell you to only listen to Christian music, because I listen to all kinds of music. And your children will too. They will listen to what they want to listen to, for good or bad. That's something you really will not be able to control very well. You can try, but it won't last long. But if they see the music that inspires you, if that's just a part of your daily life, everyday life, as you sing songs to the Lord and about the Lord, and it's just a natural thing, the odds are that they will embrace that kind of music as well. As your children grow up, it is so important that they see your joy in the Lord. How will they ever know how good God is if they can't see it expressed through your life? Music is one of the most powerful tools that you can use to teach them, to comfort them, to celebrate with them, to show your love to them, to communicate with them, and to pass your faith along to them. Use music. Let them see your joy through your music. Look at verse 4, Psalm 98, 4. It goes on to say, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, burst into jubilant song with music. Now, for those of you who can't sing, let me just tell you what is not in that verse. There's nowhere in that verse where there's an instruction that says, make beautiful music to God. It doesn't say that. It just says, make jubilant music. And jubilant means joyful. And even monotones can sing with joy. Your kids may or may not make fun of you, but that's okay. You just belt it out and praise God, and they'll get the idea. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. They're talking about the instruments they had available to them. We have new instruments that we use, and it's the same concept. And then they go on, and listen to what he says next. Let the sea resound and everything in it. Let the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. It's interesting that the writer of this psalm calls on nature to sing with him. Nature to sing with them. You see, in music, you can show your children how the earth, the sea, the mountains, the rivers, how they display God's greatness. Yesterday, in our parent-child dedication class, Aaron Martin, our preschool minister, was telling them, they said, don't let this become real complicated. How do you teach your children about God's love and about God's majesty and glory when they're small? She said, just look out the window at the trees and say, see those beautiful leaves on these trees? God made them. God made them. Teach them to appreciate the world around them, all the wonderful things that God has done and created for them to enjoy and for them to experience. The Hebrews who first sang this song, they knew that all of life and all of their world, everything in it was brought together by God. And that's why they called on nature to sing. And had they really known or had an understanding of all the far-off planets and far-flung galaxies, had they known that they were something more than just pinpricks of light in the night sky, they would have called on the planets and the galaxies to sing with them to the Lord as well. They said, let them sing before the Lord, verse 9, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Now, it may seem a little unusual. Why in this jubilant song of celebration and everyone singing together with this talk about judgment? I think the idea that the writer has was likely that he was wanting to assure all of the people that God had things under control, that the world was in good hands with him. That he would make things good. Those things that you can't make right for your children, God will. God will bring it all together, and we can trust him for that. That's what he meant about being fair and judging the world with equity. But as we look at this psalm through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we see something more about salvation. As I said, all of the Bible points ultimately towards Jesus. What we know in Jesus is that Jesus has already brought righteousness and judgment to this earth. As he brought it all upon himself. Jesus came and taught us about God's love, but ultimately Jesus showed us God's love by taking your sins and my sins and your children's sins upon his shoulders. And he died a sacrificial death to pay the penalty for those sins. That's something I can't do for myself. It's something you can't do for yourself. And mothers, as much as you would like to, you cannot even do for your own children. But Jesus has already done that for us. And as we read about this salvation and this judgment, we know that that's already come to pass through Jesus Christ. And we can receive this great salvation through Jesus if we trust our lives to him in faith. And we accept the fact that we needed a sacrifice to pay for our sins. That is something to sing about because he declares us righteous in his son. Moms, let me ask you a question. Actually, let me ask all of you a question. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? Have you admitted your sins and asked him to forgive you for your sins? Have you realized that you can't do all and be all for your children and that you need help? Don't go it alone. Don't try to do this all by yourself. I would so encourage you, if this church has just kind of been a religious thing for you because you hope your kids will pick up some good values, that's not what it's all about. It is about a relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ. And what day would be better than today to take the weight of the world off your shoulders and put that weight on Jesus where it belongs? Moms, dads, everyone, you can do that if you haven't done that with a simple prayer. Let me lead you in that prayer. Would you all just close your eyes and bow your heads? And if you've never come to that point where you have stepped over the line of faith to become a follower of Jesus Christ, but you want to and you're ready to do that, pray this prayer with me. Just say, Jesus, I need your help. I believe you created this world and me and all the people in it, including my family. I can't carry this world by myself. I know I'm not supposed to. Please take my life. Please forgive my sins and come into my life, into my heart, and lead me. I trust you with all my life. I believe that you died a sacrificial death on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe you came back to life on the third day to show your power over all things. I trust in your power. Please lead me from this day forward. Amen. If you just pray that prayer with me, I would encourage you to do a few things. The first is tell someone. Let someone know that you've made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord, your King, your Savior. If you realize you've been on a journey and others have helped you along this journey to this point, tell them. But tell someone about your decision. Also, I'd like for you to receive a Bible from us. It's the one I mentioned before. But we have a few that have a note for me. The note says, Fresh Start with God. And just ask for one of those Fresh Start Bibles. Pull that note out. And it tells you about your next step, which is to go public with your faith. And that is to be baptized. Baptism is a beautiful symbol. It symbolizes Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection as you go under the water and come back out. It also symbolizes you crossing over the line of faith as you put to death your old way of life and come back to walk in a new way of life. I would encourage you to take that next step of baptism. As a matter of fact, after this service, we're going to be baptizing someone out on the back patio. I'd encourage you, if you've never seen that before, to come out and watch and see what that is. And then let us schedule a time for you as well. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for moms. I thank you for my mom. I thank you for the wonderful mom that you gave me for my children. And I thank you for all the moms that are here. God, help them to trust you with their lives. Help them to take you seriously, but not to take themselves quite so seriously, and just enjoy the many things that you've done for them and for us. God, be with all of us as we continue to take our next steps with you. And for anyone who prayed this morning to step over the line of faith and follow you, God, I pray that you would encourage them. Help them to feel your presence and guide them as they take their next steps with you. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.